Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Season 7, episode 33. With me tonight, back from his perm, is Jonathan. Good evening, Jonathan. Where are you?
I'm at home in my loft. And what is my perm issue? Is that what you said last week?
You were having your perm, like an 80s perm, proper, like, you know, Kevin Keegan kind of perm. How did it come out?
Yeah, really nice.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, it's not a hairdressing podcast.
I look like a scouser.
and back is Nigel. Where are you? What are you up to, Nigel?
I'm in my shed.
Are you?
I am.
Are you really?
No, though? I am actually.
She told me earlier when we spoke off air, you said you'd be in your kitchen.
Yeah, but she's home now, so I dashed out to my shed.
It's been raining a lot in London town. Is your shed completely waterproof?
Yeah. It's a little leak that I've got to fix coming in from the bottom. But apart from that,
Good. Anyway, it's not a shed podcast. Unfortunately, no George tonight. He's having his legs waxed. So hopefully he will be back next week, but without the hair on his legs. All good footballers, you know, have their legs waxed now anyway, but it's not a beauty podcast. Well, let's talk about
the Gucci certainly seem to be in touch with their feminine side. I mean, perms and waxing.
Yeah, certainly in Sean's world. Either that or Sean's got some kind of feminine side going on that I'm going to tell us about.
Yeah.
Anyway, where did you dream up these things, Sean? Your seedy little mind.
Let's talk about some football. 15 years of waiting to get a win over Chelsea. We didn't quite... It felt like a win, but Paolo Di Canio brace and a Defoe, I think, is the last time we won in 2002, wasn't it? 2002?
Yep. September 2002.
Gianfranco Zola scored against us. And who was the other one? Who scored the penalty against us? Come on, Nigel.
Against us?
Yeah. Was it a penalty?
I don't know. Jody Morris?
No, it wasn't. No, I can't remember. It is the big guy, big forward for Chelsea.
What? Tor Andre Flo?
Hasselbank.
Hasselbank.
Yeah, Hasselbank. Anyway, it was a draw. Did you watch it, Nigel?
No.
No. All right. Great for having you on today.
I've seen bits of it.
I can
bluff it.
We went, didn't we, John? Along with
we did,
George. We had a lovely day in the corporate boxes. Who did we bump into? John Bumfluff and
Colin Spice.
Colin Pratt, wasn't it? Was it? I can't remember. Colin Pass, a past or something, and John Bumstead.
Pasco.
No, I don't know. We've never heard of him.
I think it was Pascoe, yeah.
Yeah, Colin Pascoe, I think. And I've heard of John Bumstead.
John Bumstead. Well, before we start with the football, we had a lovely bit of roast lamb, followed by a lovely pasta dish. Well, you had the pasta dish. What's it called? Gnocchi?
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi. And then we had a lovely bit of plum crumble, followed by a cheese dish.
So it's not a food podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway, let's talk about the game.
I probably wouldn't have gone if I wanted, didn't get given a free ticket and having a free lunch. So it was.
Let's be honest. Since we're Surrey boys, it's far easier to get to Chelsea than it is to get to Stratford, isn't it, John?
It is closer, yeah. But shows you how dedicated we are, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's all right for you local lads, Nige.
Yeah, that's us.
He don't go then. Right.
In protest.
Talk to us about the game, John. Talk to us about your experience, including starting with the tremendous Ray Wilkins tribute.
Well, yeah, we were sat down ready for that, weren't we? And it was quite, I mean, our fans, it's quite funny being on the behind enemy lines, so to speak, for a game like that, especially there because we were so loud. We went there last season, was it, Sean, or earlier this season? You got a couple of tickets for Chelsea game for someone I know we went there and people said how loud us, but we were so loud, our fans. We were.
Yeah.
It was really loud, but they were the first ones to start the old chants of One Ray Wilkins.
Before the Chelsea boys. And they outsung Chelsea for the whole game, really. It was we were singing 1-0, you still don't sing. And the 3,000 West Ham fans were real credit. West Ham away army, as usual.
There might be a reason for that.
Go on.
What? Well, we took 3 boatloads of West Ham fans.
Yeah.
So I reckon that's 600 to 700 West Ham fans sailed down the Thames on as much beer as you could drink on
really?
3.5-hour boat rides.
Well, you've seen when we scored the goal. I thought some of those people were going to fall over from the top. There were limbs everywhere.
Yeah, so
there were really limbs.
It was right scenes when we scored, but they were so loud. And I mean, we sat
close, weren't we?
Yeah, in that area there, you're right next to it, and there's people sitting next to us going, "Oh, listen to them! They can't, you know, how stupid they're still singing from Upton Park. They don't even, you know." And it was. When we scored and we couldn't help but jump up, they were saying stuff like that a bit louder and I was just laughing in their faces.
Well, we were in a neutral area. I mean, it is technically, it's not really it's just like a neutral area. There was a few West Ham around us, weren't they?
But yeah, there was quite a few.
They asked us to be discreet in the corporate area.
So, yeah. But
so talk us through the first half, John.
Well, as far as the game goes, We were steady through the game. We didn't look in the first half like we were going to challenge much. Arnautovic had a good ball come over his shoulder, which I think if he'd have hit first time, which maybe a bit more confidence, but he's got a lot of confidence. I don't know why he didn't have a go. But they were clearly better than us up front. Their players interchanged, their like sort of missing of balls, passing balls, flicks and step overs and stuff. They were so fast, but we've done really well to keep them sort of under wraps for large parts of the game. Well, Declan Rice was outstanding.
Yeah.
Joe Hart had a really good game. He saved the worldie and then let a little trickle ball just sort of tapped in where they all missed it, run past him, which was a bit disappointing. But, you know, they had 2 offside goals, which were rightly offside, disallowed. Yeah. And, of course, we scored a pretty decent goal and could have had a penalty.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, when you look at it in the round, I know we walked out of there feeling, like you say, it did feel, you know, like a bit of a victory, really.
Yeah, but, yeah. Mark Noble said that in his interview, actually. He actually said, we won at Chelsea. He went, well, it feels like a win, but, of course, we drew.
Yeah.
It feels like a win. It did feel like a win.
Last sort of 10 or 15 minutes, it was really back and forward stuff. And
yeah,
you know, we could have nicked it.
Very nervous.
But I've seen some reports saying how they were sort of far superior to us and things like that. Well, essentially they were up front. Their attacking force was far superior, but they didn't break us down and they didn't really sort of like they just weren't clinical enough, were they? So they, no. they we had a few misplaced passes. Fernandez didn't have a great game.
He had an awful game. Sort of
blows hot and cold. Mario wasn't particularly involved much. But I sort of thought Arnautovic was going to sit out after a while. He seemed to pull up again. But, you know, he seemed to make it through the game. So, yeah. Overall, like I say, it seemed like a victory. It was a well-deserved point. Our fans were an absolute credit. And the noise, it was a real eye-opener being the other side of the fence.
Yeah,
and they didn't like it. People around us were.
They didn't like it.
It was agitating them, and they would like really trying every kind of insult without any credibility to they could come up with, and it was just quite amusing, really.
Who was your man of the match?
I walked away from there thinking it was Declan Rice, to be honest with you, but I can understand how Joe Hart got it. Because you know when you see his last that fingertip save onto the post, which was down the other end from us. You see that close up, it was an outstanding save. But when he made that worldie in the first half and then let that one trickle past, we all sort of said, well, that's kind of typical, didn't we?
Yeah.
But
So, big question. Full-time, that is little pies. Which did you like, the cheeky beef or the lamb and mint pea? Which one?
I was with the lamb. I thought the lamb was
the
nice.
Lamb,
yeah.
The lamb and mint pea.
Yeah, I did. Oh, and the Guinness, and a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. Quick stat attack, obviously, just to show what the stats were. Obviously, they had 60% of the possession to our 40. They had 23 shots, 6 on target to our 5 shots, 2 on target. But, you know, like you said, first half, we stood firm. You know, they didn't take their chances, 2 offside. We had a few chances, I thought. As you said, Declan Rice just played an absolute worldie. Arnautovic played really well too. But like John, I thought he was injured. He took a knock early on and he seemed to be almost shaking his hand, don't pass to me, like he couldn't run anymore. And I was really surprised that Moyes didn't pull him off earlier. We didn't pull him off at all. I don't know. We'll see if he plays at Stoke.
Most people sort of get taken off, not really pulled off. But when he took Mario off, didn't he? He was shaking his head, Mario, and pointing to Arnautovic.
I thought Mario and Fernandez didn't play very well, as you say. And Hart, probably the best game Hart ever had in a West Ham shirt. If he could play like that every time, then he would get a permanent contract with West Ham. It was interesting.
Yeah, go on, sorry. What really showed up as well when he brought Hernandez on, it showed, because they've done it in the past, how Arnautovic and Hernandez link.
Yeah.
And they are dangerous together.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say... So, Slaven Bilic was doing some commentary for Sky. He actually slagged off both Arnautovic and Fernandez, saying that they shouldn't have... They were at fault for that sloppy goal. And that they should have remembered their defensive duties. I don't know if that's fair or not. I haven't seen the replay for that. But one thing you would have missed watching on the TV, and we'll come to you next, Nigel, is Hernandez. So we're having a bit of fun. So Evra was running up and down, right, playing with the crowd. And what we were singing, they were singing, they had a new song. We love this game. We love this game. We love this game. I'm probably not doing it any service whatsoever, am I, John? But it was, we love this game. And Evra was...
You got it in essence. That's what it was.
But Hernandez, Chicharito, little P, was not having any of it. He wouldn't look any of the West Ham fans in the eye. He wouldn't clap. He wouldn't look at them. He looked completely pissed off in the first and second half. And just looked completely disinterested. I know he came on and scored a goal, maybe to prove a point. I don't think he's very much long for this.
It's a great finish.
It was a great finish. But I still don't think there's any love there. I know he came out afterwards and said he wants to, wants to fight for West Ham and everything. But what else is he going to say? Well. So, only thing is, Nigel, try and, if you didn't watch the game, you weren't there, try and make something up and see if it will sound half intelligent.
Yeah. I must admit, I hope they turn up and when push comes to shove, just fell apart at the end. You know, I don't know what he was doing. I just, if he could.
Who fell apart?
McIlroy. I just thought Rory could really add a chance to.
Oh, yeah, because you were watching the Masters. This is not a golf podcast,
oh,
mate.
Oh, sorry. I forgot what.
He was watching the Masters.
To be fair to me, I caught some of the first half and I listened to the second half in the car. I saw some of the highlights that I flicked through. I didn't think it was a penalty at the end. I thought Kante got the ball. And
No. Look at the replay.
Luckily.
Definitely 100% a penalty. You don't know what you're talking about.
Arnautović got his foot between the Kante and the ball.
Yeah, for me, that ain't that's home team.
Because where the referee was stood behind him, you could see it looked like Kante knocked the ball away from him. But I don't think he did. I think there was
a bit of both there, to be fair. It was one of them you don't get them because they're so much in doubt. And I'll tell you what, VAR couldn't tell you if that was a penalty or not because it was one of them, literally was a 50-50. So I saw the chance that in the first half on Arnautović, if he'd have hit it, dropped over his shoulder, could have hit it first time, decided to control it and got crowded out. I mean, it sounded like the best part of it, listening to it on the radio, was the last 10 minutes or since when we scored.
That was the most nervous part of it.
Well, no, because it was a bit end-to-end.
It was,
and then until the last, 3 minutes and then with the 5 minutes of injury time when basically we decided to... we got a bit of criticism for a corner that we had and we basically did nothing with it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he just kicked it in a keeper.
Yeah, you know, which if you're going to do that, you might as well have bodies up there. I always prefer to try and win the game.
Yeah.
Our point is good. We know we got Stoke coming up. We know that Southampton and Stoke realistically ain't going to catch us. So we could have showed a bit more ambition. And I think Moyes is morphed into another Allardyce to me. So,
false nine.
So, false manager. You know, I give pay him his wages. He's kept his up. And I don't know, I'm on the fence at the moment. Let's see how he finishes the season.
Well, he's gonna be our manager next season.
He's staying, he ain't going anywhere, is he?
Yeah. So, that's anything more to say on the game?
No.
So let's move on to season ticket renewals because they've just been announced. I'm sure you got in early and you've already renewed yours, John.
Well, I have got in early with my email I got from the club. I've had it, but I haven't renewed it yet. No.
And how about you?
Well, I'm special because not only did I get email, I got a text today. Nigel.
Yeah, so did I.
Season ticket renewals are now open. As a Banff 5 season ticket holder, cheapskate. You can access a price freeze when you renew for 2 years. So
you have to do that by a particular date, though, don't you?
I don't know, actually, because I haven't looked.
Yeah, I do. I think it's early, sometime in April. We've got till June to hold on to our money.
But my 2 years, I think, is still cheaper than your 1 year, isn't it? And
yeah,
you
it
only
is.
Sit 35 rows in front of me.
Yeah, yep. That's about half a mile, isn't it?
Only upwards.
You sit in the flats, though, don't you? You sit in the flats in Green Street.
No,
if we
were at the Bowling, I'd be sitting in the flats on Priory Road, the other side.
So let me tell you, and see what you... Let's have a discussion about. I did a poll on Claret Hugh. 693 season ticket holders. I asked the question, are you going to renew? Do you plan to renew your season ticket? Only 51% said yes. Interestingly, 26% said no. And at the moment, another 23% say undecided. So do you think, I'm a bit wary of this. So that means 26% saying no. That's going to be about 13,000 people. Do you think it will come to that, or people are a bit brave at this point? I mean, you said this, Nigel, you know, you said you weren't going to go for the rest of the season, and you went, oh, what am I going to do on a Saturday?
Exactly. Yes. I think it depends on the finish. I think there's a lot of people upset out there at the way the move's gone, and everything around the march and the way it was cancelled and everything else. When push comes to shove, I think there's a lot of worry about that waiting list as well, because is it real or isn't it? Now, if the waiting list is real, I would imagine that renewals would be high because people would be worried about giving up and not getting it. Where if it's proven that the waiting list is rubbish, as we all believe, then I reckon the non-renewals would be high because people would think, well, we'll just pick and choose our games. I mean, let's get this right. At the moment now, for all this sellout every week and all this waiting list and all this membership list, we get an email today saying we can buy 2 adult tickets for Stoke for 40 quid and it's kids for a quid.
Yeah.
So that don't come across. Now, I know it's because it's a Monday night game and everything. Yeah. But I think a lot of that's to do with it as well. The fact that how many Saturday 3 o'clock games have we had? 5?
Probably about 3 or 4.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that bought tickets that live a long way away that can't make rearranged games. Like John in Surrey, struggling a bit.
I always trudge in now, I tell you, with a blooming scowl on my face. Bloody sky.
You know, I don't like thinking you out, Joe. I thought I'd have to get that one in. But, you know, so I think there's a lot of that to do with it as well. It does mess up a lot of people's plans and they think, well, why should we bother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what I asked Cameron Brady in this February SAB. So I asked this question. Funny enough, the minutes aren't available for that SAB meeting. But I asked this very question. I hope it's going to be in the minutes. I said, can you give me the real number? It's been 50,000 for a long time. And I said to Karen, what's the real number? And I think Nicola Kay, head of ticketing, answered 48,000.
Waiting list, good. You're talking about.
On the waiting list, a verified waiting list, 48,000. It's gone down to 48,000. Because I kept on saying, well, it's always been said 50,000. So, right. So, okay, here's my second question. Do you count the Claret members in that 48,000? So the rumour is, you know, you've counted twice. Claret members and maybe 25,000 and then, you know, another 23,000. And they said, no, the Claret members are completely separate. 48,000 are people that have paid a tenner that have not got a season ticket yet. All right? So I said, right, fine. Okay, here's my next question.
Well, just to add to that, quickly,
yeah.
What you got to remember is a lot of those people paid a tenner when we were still at the bowling, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So this is important, my next question. So my next question was, so what they said is, we are now contacting the first 5,000 people in the list. So it shows you how many they think might not renew again. They think it will be about 10%. And we're asking them whether they still want a season ticket, yeah? Now, I did ask, I said, if they say no, do they still stay on the list? The answer is yes. You stay on the list for life. If you pay £10, you stay on the list for life, even if you don't want one right now, right? So you could ask later. So that might be some of the problem. Once you pay £10, you're on for life. Even if you turn down the option of a season ticket this season, you'll be on for life. But what they've said is they plan to contact everybody on the 48,000 list and ask them if they're still interested in a season ticket. So over the course of before next season, they said they want to contact everyone. And they also said they're working on a system so everybody knows what number they are in a list. So soon, when this system comes in, they promised it will come in. If you join the season ticket, pay a tenner and join the season ticket now, you should be 48,022 or whatever. That's what they said at the SAB meeting. The minutes haven't been published yet. over 5 weeks after I asked those questions, whether Nikki Kay, head of ticketing, and Karen Brady told the truth. I'm just the messenger. I'm just repeating what they said.
Thanks.
Well, we will find out if people. I think people. You know, they found 5,000 people last time to replace the 5,000 who didn't renew. Yeah, they did.
So why is the place so empty every week?
Well, because people like Nigel don't put their seats on ticket exchange. And we saw yesterday, by the way, Nigel. We saw loads of modern football.
It's one home game.
Modern foot, yeah, but you often don't use a seat next to you.
Right.
Part of the problem. And you won't be using it on Monday.
No, I won't.
So when we were at Chelsea, although it doesn't show up so much because they're blue seats, we saw loads and loads of empty seats. Sunday afternoon, modern football, people not reselling their seats and leaving them empty. Did we not, John?
Oh, there was quite a lot of empty seats high up, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll ask the question. John, do you plan to renew?
I'm going to spend you're not going on Monday then, Nige, next Monday?
No, my son's just come out of hospital. So I'm thinking because it's on telly, it'll be easier.
Right.
But you can use his seats though, John. You can go up them and use his seats.
I was going to go up. I'm going to have a mooch around in your area. I might go up to band 5 on the premise that I become part of...
Down.
Band 5 and then become part of the problem, Sean, because what I am disillusioned, as quite a lot of people are. I'm not very keen on the stadium and all that goes with it. And I am a little bit loath just to give up what I've done for so many years on a Saturday just like that. Yeah. So,
but for half the price.
But if I come and pay,
because that's what it is,
pay that sort of money, I feel I can pick and choose a bit and do what I want, and I won't feel so obliged to trudge up there on a Monday night and on a Saturday morning for 12 o'clock kickoffs, and the Saturday coming up where we're going to be kicking off at 7:45 Saturday nights. All these things.
To be fair, though, John, you've always got rid of a ticket. You've never not got rid of a ticket. When you've wanted to get rid of it.
I have not got rid of tickets twice in the past.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, But also, you know, you do feel obliged, don't you? Because, you know, all said and done, we got decent seats. We got a decent view. And, sort of feel you've bought your ticket, you should go, but it's not even just the stadium, is it? It is the sort of 12:15 kickoffs on a Saturday morning, you know, just all these sort of things.
I'll tell you what, John, and on art, mate, it's an odd thing to give up, though.
Yeah, I know, and that is why that's kind of my option. I'm going to go up there and have a nose about and see whether I can do that or whether I'll just bite the bullet and go again. I don't think I can at this stage just walk away.
Yeah. George said he's going to renew, but he may go to Bam 5. Nigel, are you renewing?
Yes.
And so am I. Yeah. So there you go. We'll see how many don't renew. I think it will be about the 10%. Here's a little something, and this is something for the listeners, right? You might know somebody. I won't be unfair to say the person's name, but this person emailed me this afternoon. This person is a West Ham fan, and they emailed me say, my offices are moving abroad, and I've completely forgot about my West Ham season tickets. But the club are being very difficult about cancelling my membership, because I don't know if you know, but if you have...
Is he corporate?
Club of London. So he had to agree. Well, he hasn't paid for 3 years in advance.
You have to agree.
You agree. He says, I have got 2 Club London season tickets. The seats are incredible. 3 rows behind the away dugout with access to the bowling bar. He says... I just wondered if you know anyone that might be interested.
Shh, this is an off-air discussion.
Oh, really?
Well, you're going to announce the price?
No, I'm not going to announce the price.
Right. Go on.
But he says, West Ham seem happy if I can find someone to take the season tickets over and transfer it into their names, but they won't take it back. I think the points he's making is, well, if there's such a waiting list for Club London, How come he's got to find someone to transfer these?
Perhaps because there weren't a waiting list for Club London. Perhaps the And this is the thing that people on the waiting list have got to find. I bet there's a higher renewal rate in band five than any other band, because you'll find a lot of people there will think, you know, fuck it, for 300 quid, 15 quid or 16 quid a game, as it works out, I'll keep renewing and pick and choose my games. You know, there's loads of empty seats.
If we've got some rich West Ham fans who want a couple of Club London tickets transferred into their name, message me. And I'll put you in touch with this this guy who's moving.
I'll give you 300 quid then. Fuck it.
Yeah, we won't renew band five. You can have more money.
It doesn't work like that.
I would renew band five just to keep the seat. I'll give you 300 quid.
Right. Well, it bite your hand off for 300 quid. I'll tell you why. Because it's direct debit. So he hasn't paid any money up front. It's direct debit. He needs to transfer it into someone else's name. They take it out per month.
Oh, fuck that. That's what? It so it's face value.
Face value.
You can pay 300 quid and walk forward and sit in them seats sometimes. Who'd want to do that?
Ooh.
Not with the new barriers,
I know.
And the high security.
Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got another story about that, but I'm going to keep that for another time. Relegation. Bookies, 365, overnight after last night, have us at 25-1 to go down now. Does that mean we're safe, yes. Nigel? You're a bookie man. You're a betting man.
Yep.
Yeah? You think that's it?
I think it was all down to the Southampton win. Because we're playing the teams around us, lose against Southampton, fall into the bottom three. Even the point against Chelsea would have probably kept us in the bottom three if we'd have lost to Southampton. So, therefore, actually, the fact that we beat Southampton, as I said last week, they've got to win two or three more games than we're going to win. They ain't going to do it.
Would you know what the odds are? West Brom are now 1 to 2,000 odds on. I see they got turned down for...
Standings.
Standing today. Stoke are 1 to 5 on, so obviously the bookies think that they're going down. And actually Southampton are odds on, but 10 to 11 for the drop. Next is Huddersfield, 5 to 4, Swansea 13 to 2, Crystal Palace at 9 to 1, and finally Brighton that's above us is 20 to 1 to get demoted.
They got a bad run. 25 to 1. I know we've got United, City and Arsenal, but they've got a very bad run.
What a difference a month, mate. You know when we lost to Burnley? Remember that game? Bookies made us 9-4 for the drop.
Don't remember that game. Anything happened?
Yeah. You were in front of the director's box.
Oh, that was you as well, yeah.
Yeah. Still people getting banning letters. We were talking last week of other people getting banning letters. People who are still saying, we weren't there, it wasn't us, etc. So,
well, they can do what they like now. They've got us all back on side as far as they're concerned. Yeah. It's all water under the bridge. We've won a game. It'll all go
away. We're safe now. So do you believe we're safe now, John? That's it.
We're 6 points above Southampton. You know, if you rational
seven
about
points
it,
above Stoke.
But look at the goal difference. It's almost like 7 points above Southampton.
Yeah, you rationally you'd think probably, but I would feel definitely if we beat Stoke. So I'd be happier because I'm not really a positive, am I? I'm a bit of a pessimist. So
you are. I forgot to mention because you weren't here last week having your perm. Did you not say to me at before the Southampton game that you wanted West Ham to go down?
I said I'd be happy if West Ham go down. I can take that. I'm used to it, and I don't think the board would be able
to.
Actually,
I think George backed you up on that. And if I go a bit further to throw Nigel under the bus as well, I think Nigel agreed with that as well.
You ain't throwing me under the bus because I'll openly admit that I'd said that a relegation is an occupational hazard. It don't bother me. It doesn't affect will I attend or will I not. I'm just as happy watching West Ham playing Rotherham as I am watching them play Man City.
Maybe I'm being unfair, but it's almost like you wanted us to go down, all three of you, to teach the board a lesson, or have I got that completely wrong?
I was asked the question by someone who comes with us who's not really a fan. He sort of, you know, what do you think? Are you going to go? Are we going to get relegated? Is this going to be? And I said, I don't really care if we get relegated. I can deal with that. I'll still come. I'll still whatever. I said it will hurt them more, and it really sort of like go against everything that they've said, and it'd be like a punch in the nose for them if we weren't relegated. That's what I was saying.
I think you're a bit arse saying that Sean ain't a fan though, John. Just
well, Sean used to be a fan.
You just added him. He's not really a fan.
But Sean used to come watch the games. Sean don't really do that anymore. Sean just comes.
He's a people watcher.
Yeah, he's a journalist.
Well, I've been asked to talk to the BBC World Service to an interview this weekend.
So you're going to put
Ian Dale sent me the, yes, the BBC World Service talking about how the East End has changed. So
what the fuck do you know about the East End of London? Oh, my life.
Which voice are you going to use? You've got about three different voices.
This is the BBC World Service. Well, actually, I'm in the IB for this Friday, so I won't be doing this Friday.
Isha has changed quite widely. The bus is now number 12 instead of a number 7 when I was a little boy going to prep school.
Since Chelsea moved their training ground to Oxshott, Isha has changed immensely.
Yes.
Lots of them lads running around the place.
Jesus. Anyway, let's get back to the running order.
Couldn't make it up.
Transfer news. Well, let's do a bit of team news first. A little bit of exclusive news. Well, we've just put it on Clarence Hugh. But Andy Carroll will be on the bench for Stoke.
Be careful. The last time he was on the bench, he done his back.
But he's ready. The saviour has returned. And Lenzini's back as well.
What?
For Stoke, yeah.
Right.
So, Lanzini. We need everybody. We need. Well, maybe we don't after you've just said we don't need to win it because we're safe, but it'll be nice to win against Stoke and get to 37 points.
I would like to win against Stoke. Then I would feel quite comfortable about our survival.
People don't like Stoke, do they? They want Stoke to go down. Anyway, some transfer notes from our side.
Transfer.
From what I hear, you know, little whispers I hear with senior sources. Adrian, as you've probably heard rumours, he could be going back to Spain. Not rated as a number one keeper by Moyes, I hear. Hart, if he could play games like he did on Sunday, he might have a chance, but it'd be on a free transfer. Whether we want to pay his basic 110 a week plus bonuses, whether I don't think we want to pay that much, but we'll see on whether he's prepared to lower. You've seen rumours of Cresswell. Sam Allardyce probably wants Cresswell. Apparently, I hear if we get an offer between 12 and 15 million, we'll let him go because, I quote, we've outgrown him. Andy Carroll, if any decent offer comes in for Andy Carroll, be gone. Mario, it probably won't surprise you. They won't be putting in a bid for Mario. And I think it's unlikely we're going to see Hernandez after the summer as well. And I was talking separately to both Nigel and John before we came on air. And the challenge is, and I'm going to start with Nigel and then I'll go to John. We would have to completely, if all of those went, we'd have to completely rebuild a team. And there's a danger in, isn't that, Nigel, doing that?
There is a danger. Personally, I think we're at a crossroads. We're done about next level. Forget all that nonsense. The team needs a major overhaul, which needs a lot of money, but also the money that we've got looks like needs to be spread over 7 or 8 players. So therefore, that cheapens the quality. Personally, I would be looking at keeping a lot of the players and adding to what we got. Getting rid of the likes of perhaps Evra. João Mario's not going to stay. But let's take, we're going to lose João Mario and we let Hart go.
Yeah.
We're letting go two first team players. And because we do this loan scheme, we lose the money straight away. Or we don't lose money.
Well, Mario's not. No, Mario hasn't really proved to be anything.
He's not worth the 40 million. Now, see, the thing about João Mario is the problem he's got is he's got a 37 million buy tag. He's not worth it.
All right, let me ask you a question. If we'd have paid £20 million for Mario,
yes,
right, or 25, would you be happy now?
He's about, on market value, he's about a £20 million midfield player, yeah. Top whack, 20
okay.
million.
If we'd spent 15 million on Joe Hart last summer instead of loan, would you be happy right now?
Yeah, actually, I would have been. Joe Hart is a top keeper. He proved it against Chelsea. Right. The problem I had with Joe Hart was he came on loan thinking he was going to use us as a stepping stone to something better.
Yeah.
And actually, he's blown up. Now, there's another thing on the horizon Joe Hart's got to remember. We play Man City again and he can't play.
Yeah.
So he's going to be dropped again.
Yeah, true.
So we're going to have to go back to Adrian. So Joe Hart only lost his place in the team originally off the back of Adrian's performance away at Man City when Hart couldn't play.
Yeah.
So that would be quite...
Okay. All right. Let's bring in John. John, from what I said, any concerns of a clear out that we just talked about? And is there danger in trying to replace all those at the same time, including probably we know we need some midfielders?
But yeah, I mean, there are players that can. I mean, I for one would, if we're not likely to get any offers in for Andy Carroll, you know, he's on, what's he on, Sean, 90 grand a week or something?
90, no, 85 basic plus other.
He's got a year left on his contract. Well, I would cancel that mutual and let him go and, you know, get all your money together and buy 2 or 3 quality players. That's what we actually need to do. I wouldn't let Hernandez go. I honestly believe that Hernandez and Arnautovic playing off each other up front is quite formidable. And
it leaves you weak in midfield, though.
Well,
that's the problem.
It's formidable. Like I was going to say, if it's formidable when we're playing the teams there and around us. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't play that obviously against your cities and all that. But we've seen it. We've seen them when they've he got injured when they two got together. They were scoring goals. And it was even more when they had Lanzini there as well, wasn't it, when he was with them. So it's they've not really played together that much. There must be a way of keeping, because Arnautovic is working harder. He's doing a lot more for a team. Keeping him tucked in behind Hernandez, I think they could form quite a good partnership. But I can't see David Moyes playing that kind of attacking football. So maybe you're right. Maybe he doesn't fit in our team. Mm-hmm. But I personally would try and make him fit in the team and sort of build it back from there. But we need some quality. Well, we need a couple of quality midfielders. I don't know about Reece Oxford. I mean, Declan Rice has proven his worth. He's sort of cemented his place, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to get a big pay rise, as we wrote in Clarence Hugh earlier, and it was repeated everywhere. He's going to go from $2,500 a week to $40,000 a week, and good luck to him. He deserves it.
The difference between Declan Rice and Reece Oxford is that Declan has done it in the first team and played international football, won man of the match for the Republic of Ireland first team. Heaps load of praise. West Ham went wrong with Reece Oxford because he was 16, had one good game against Arsenal and threw money at him and then just kept banging him. You keep banging good players on loan in championship teams, you might turn them into a championship player. Declan Rice has played and stayed and played in the Premier League and become a Premier League player.
I mean, Huey compared him to Bobby Moore. Others have said, you know, he reminds them of a Rio Ferdinand.
Well, we're not old enough, are we, to remember 1958?
Yeah. So. Do you agree with that? Do you think he's something special? Do you think he's a Rio Ferdinand or a Bobby Moore of that kind of ilk, that he could be really, really special?
I think he's got the roots of that player. Whether he blossoms, that's up to him. We've seen far a lot of players play as good as that and then fade away. But hopefully this boy seems to add. If you watch him when he's playing the game, and it's picked up more on TV than when you're there, you can see him talking to the other players. Yeah. He's got leadership quality. This boy, for me, should be groomed to take over the captaincy in a couple of years.
He does remind you a bit of the Ferdinand. It's not so much of the flair that Ferdinand had, the flair. It's the level of composure and level of maturity for his age. But, you know, I've seen Reece Burke have games that are incredible. And you sort of think this boy should be in the first team. You know.
But he's not been given that chance. Declan Rice has been given the chance. He got kept. Reece Burke has not been given that chance of coming in. Playing. Reece Oxford hasn't been given that chance.
Right, that's what I mean. But it's their management, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes you wonder that when they're still. Ginge hasn't been. Is he getting a contract or not getting a contract? Have they said to Reece Oxford, go back to Germany for the rest of the season, come back next season, you're in the first team squad?
No, he said, I want to go back to Germany. I think it was the other way around.
Literally. Anyway, we've got to move on. We will talk about transfers, but without a director
quickly,
of football.
Quickly, what about that Fulham bloke sitting behind the dugout? Was he in Tom Kearney? Was he in the West Ham bit? Was he
Tom Kearney? I'm going to talk about transfers next week. So I'm going to line them up. What I've heard from West Ham transfers, you know, because they're still scouting, they're still looking.
Was
at
the Chelsea
even
game,
not
is he there for us?
Oh, right. It was a bit dubious, wasn't it?
It's a bit of a funny turnout, aren't it?
It was stupid, didn't they? I can't.
Yeah. Just down the road, he just fancied a day out and he was sitting just behind David Moyes. Complete coincidence. Anyway, it's time for this. It's Facebook Twitter question time again. I said earlier, podcasting at 7:40 p.m. ish to talk about Chelsea, Chelsea, and more Chelsea. Thanks for the 4 points, guys. And then look forward to Stoke. Send in your questions, statements of facts, shout outs, or rants to us before 8 p.m. And as we record this, it's now 8:40. Ricky Gaylor says, would safety vindicate the Bulls' decision to sell AU and Font without bringing in replacements? I'm no fan of theirs, but agreed with the sales, seeing as we would not have any comparative offers in the summer. Having said that, I'm worried we won't see the money spent. How confident are you that it will be in the summer? That's got to be for you, Nigel. Would it vindicate the Bulls' decision to sell AU and Font if we stayed up?
I don't know about vindicate. They've took a gamble and they've won because we know that we only get rubbish, as Fontproof's actually a bit harsh maybe, but that's what you get when you buy in January. And I've always argued about spending big money in January, that it's never value for money. Mm. So as long as they spend it and they don't take any interest or loan repayment back, which we won't know, then yes, I suppose they are.
All right, John, second part of the question. Will we get to spend the money in the summer? How confident are you?
They will figure out a way of making it look like they've spent it, but they probably won't be spending it all, will they? I'm sure they will take some out.
Right. Okay. Ed Hughes says, if Hart is available at bargain basement price, is he worth a shot next year? Well, he'd be on a free, by the way. I guess he means wages. Put a strong team in front of him and he raises our game. Saved us the draw against Chelsea. So, John, let's start with you. Hart, for you, if he's
We discussed this yesterday, didn't we?
I know, our listeners weren't there, though, John.
Yeah, we sort of... Yeah, okay, fair enough. we said yesterday that, you know, Adrian is going and that Hart is clearly a quality keeper. He's just been at a real bad couple of years of form. Now, if he was to find his form and we could get him on a free and acceptable wages, he would be worth keeping.
Okay, all right, let's move on. Balumi says, good performance. Hope for a win versus Everton and Stoke with a draw to Leicester and one of Man U or Arsenal. Hopefully they can sell Andy Carroll and use the money for Mikhail-type replacement. I still like Thurlin, is it? Out of the French league. I don't know that. Thauvin. Nigel, do you think a win against Everton and Stoke and a draw against Leicester and either Man United or Arsenal is possible?
Anything's possible, isn't it? Whether it's probable.
Do you think they can sell AC? I know John put his view on this earlier.
I don't know what you'd get for him personally. I don't know. I'm sort of sitting.
If you don't know, we're going to move on.
No, I don't. I'll tell you what. I want to have a go about French football. Bloody Marseille cost me £200 yesterday. Thank you, Dimi Payet. Got subbed off after 65 minutes. You waste of space.
Well, you shouldn't be betting on him. Nick Harvey says, good performance from Hart, Zabaleta, Rice and Obonna. Arnautovic worked his socks off. Clinical finish from Hernandez. A win against Stoke could see us safe. Massive overhaul of the squad needed in the summer. We need a keeper, possibly two. Centre-back, right and left backs, holding midfielder, a striker as a minimum. Add to that, someone who can play wide, as I'd like a replacement for an Antonio too. Now the season ticket news have been announced. No doubt we'll be linked with everyone under the sun. So we are. Who did I ask last? I think it was John. So let's ask Nigel. Is that right? Two keepers,
that's
a centre
about
back,
eight
and
players.
Back?
Now let's overestimate and say we're going to spend 100 million. Yeah. Divide that by eight. That's nearly what 12 million, 12 and a half million a player. What does that buy you? That's where we were talking earlier about a complete overhaul of the squad is needed, but it's a gamble because of what you bring in.
And he just needs to buy two or three good quality and let make some cuts and some savings where they can, but don't let everyone go. We're desperate in the midfield. You know, I mean, yesterday our bench was like so weak. Potentially decent, you know. I think Cullen is worth a keeping in the first team squad, but we'll see.
So next one to John. Ed Hawthorne says, glad to see Chiarty playing well again. How much do you think the mayhem comments have affected his form? I can't remember the mayhem comments. Was that the African player kind of comments?
No, I think there was some discussion that people don't know what's gone on in his personal life and Noble's helped him through it, so we don't really know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, you know more than me. Do you know anything about this, Nigel? No. Oh, okay. I feel a Clarence Hughes story coming on. Chris Hooper says, we are so lucky. Everyone is getting carried away. If we'd lost by four, no one could have complained. Moyes has to go. Ooh, Nigel.
I don't know, in a way, he's not far off from the truth, is he? We rode our luck, but then that's football, isn't it? So, you know, it's all about taking the chances.
Moyes has to go, yes or no?
I'm holding till, let's see how we play in the last lot of games before I make that decision.
John,
Karen
Moyes
Brady,
has to
Karen
go.
Brady has to go. She's still writing her news article and stuff. Karen Brady has to go.
Yeah, I'll vote for that.
But does Moyes have to go?
I think Moyes is staying Whether I think he should or not, I don't think he really cares. No one cares, do they? So I think he's staying, and which we just have to accept that. And you have to hope that when we're not battling a relegation battle between him and his backroom staff, they try and give us something that we'd like to watch.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? We have one last question on Twitter.
Shall I do it?
And do you know who it's from? Do you know who it's from?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Go on. Go on. Go on, read it out.
My mate, Canyon Tan, Lynn. All right, Lynn. I have a question for the gang. In the spirit of tradition and passion, should we stay up? Well, we will. Would you like to see Millwall join us in the Premier League?
Yes.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
It would be. I've got a lot of respect for Millwall lately. With the Isla thing, that Tony Mundy, who raised and ran from Millwall to the bowling ground, and then at the Southampton game, then ran. He dyed his hair. He did the cross hammer sign. He raised like $7,000.
I think he raised nearly $20,000, actually.
You're right. He did. He raised, actually, you're right. He raised 25, including gift aid. He raised $25,000. You know, they're no different to us. We've got to maybe let
this
whole
Dockers thing
go.
Well, they are to you because you're from Surrey and they ain't. They're no different than me.
All right, well, let's ask the question back to you, Nigel, because you're probably from a Docker family somewhere. So,
market traders.
Would you like to see Millwall join
us? It's a double-edged sword, because actually a bit of me would like the rivalry renewed.
Yeah.
But it'd be off the back of Millwall doing well. So, you know, the thing about rivalries, you don't want your rivals to do well. And the last thing I'd want is Millwall to come up and do better than us in the Premier League and embarrass us. Yeah. But I would love a Millwall game at the at London Stadium just to see the stewards.
Sure, can you just imagine the panic that would ensue amongst the blooming London?
They'd have to shut blocks 114, 113, 112.
You could just imagine it, can't you? The chaos it would. The London Assembly would implode.
So what do you say, John? What say you?
I tell you, it'd be interesting, put it that way. Interesting would do, but I agree with Nigel. You don't wish them to succeed and get promoted, but they are on an upward trajectory. So I wouldn't say no, let's not have them up there, because if it happened, I would welcome it.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Len. And don't forget to, if you haven't seen it yet, little plug for our friend Len. Go and watch, what's it called? Pure Gold, the musical?
Yes.
Including Nigel doing... Do you just do... do pie mash, sweets? No, you don't do sweet stall.
Oh, yes.
You sure you don't do any other bits? Oh, you're the Millwall fan.
Well, I'm the Millwall fan at the end. I proudly get the hang, David Gold. Off the new cross. And stick a Millwall at him.
I like it. I like the Debt one. I like the Debt song. Understandable. Anyway.
Yeah. I'll have to send you the clip of me and my singing.
Excellent. Let's move on. That's all we've got time for today. But let's go to predictions. We've got a really important time. I'm coming back for the game. I'm flying back from Ibiza on Sunday night just to make sure I can make the game on Monday Night Football for Stoke. I know John loves Monday Night Football. So let's start with John talking about his predictions for Stoke at the wonderful London Stadium with all the barriers and police and stewards in football boots and goggles.
In a family-friendly stadium with the welcoming stewarding and security.
Prediction,
I
please.
Predict it will be a 2-1 win for the Hammers.
Ooh. Nigel.
Mark Noble penalty in the last 10 minutes.
Now, I know you'll be armchair at home, but for good reason.
Yeah, looking after my son. I was thinking 2-1. Arnautovic ain't going to be up for it, really, because it was Mark Hughes that he wanted to shove it up rather than Stoke.
Well, I thought that, Nigel, as well, but it was the fans that got him in the first place. It was the fans at Stoke that got him riled and he started running to them.
So perhaps a 2-0 win, West Ham.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go for a 1-0 win because I think it'll be a win. And but I think it will be tougher than we think.
So you have a positiveness around. It will be optimism.
There is.
It's only because we're playing Stoke, the second worst team in the league.
So I want to know whether I can get the outro right. Oh, this would be the thing. Couldn't I get the outro right this week?
I noticed you edited it last week.
Well, I didn't edit it, but we'll see if we get the outro right. So it's goodbye from me, Sean. It's goodbye from John. He's been...
Goodbye. Oh, happy, happy, happy.
Happy. And goodbye from Nigel.
Goodbye.
Bobby Moore. Come on, you Irons. I can't believe we got the right one. Bobby more than just a podcast. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.